Hello, everyone, and welcome to a bonus spin-off series of Fake TV Critic. As you have known, it's been some doldrums around here over the summer, and I'm also lazy and don't like putting out episodes all the time. But there's a new series that just started on VH1 a couple of weeks ago called RuPaul's Secret Celebrity Drag Race. It's actually season two. Season one was very different, and we're not going to talk about it. But season two is a lot of fun. And I was watching it, and I texted Andy, who you all listened to at the beginning of the year when Drag Race season, what season was this? 14, I think it was, premiered. We had a little conversation, and I was like, hey, make sure you watch this. It's a lot of fun. And then she did, and she texted me about how she was obsessed with it, and then said, let's record a podcast about it. So if you don't like this little spinoff series, it's her fault. Welcome, Andy. Yay!
Hello!
Okay, so why are you obsessed with this? Tell us what's going on. What's the show? Go for it.
Okay, so as you all know, I did have my own podcast regarding Masked Singer, and I really truly believe that that was the only season of Masked Singer worth recording on, because now we have progressed to the point where it is so bad, I deleted it, and I don't watch Masked Singer anymore because I think it went to shit. They are mostly leaning toward a Republican cast, and I don't think any of us are interested in that.
No.
So, this is like Masked Singer, but with drag queens. So you still kind of can't tell who they are. Some of them you can, some of them you can't. But it's so much more fun because it's the dragified version of something that could have been good. And this is what it's supposed to be. So I think this is just an amalgamation of two great things made better.
I'm with you. The first episode of this, I thought they were going for a Masked Singer vibe. I thought that was kind of the point of why they changed the format. But then RuPaul says in the first episode that this ain't no guessing game. And I was like, oh, well, then what the hell is the point of the show? other than to be fun, which, like, for the most part, I feel like now that's why we watch Masked Singer. Because, like, as you said, those celebrities they have on it now are fucking garbage.
Yeah, I mean, either they're so niche that you have to follow TikTok and Twitch and, you know, just like every streaming or social media type platform to even know who these people are. And, you know, if you're not into all that stuff, which is kind of strange to me, especially because it seems like Masked Singer is like targeted toward women like 35 to 55 kind of thing. So it's weird that they choose so many like Twitch streamers and TikTokers. I mean, I understand they're trying to get in a younger audience, but I don't understand how to like conflate bringing on Ninja and Rudy Giuliani. Like those two things, just I don't understand who that what they're after with that.
Yeah, I don't either. I do disagree that season three was the only good season, and we'll talk about that once we get through this episode.
Sorry.
No. But Secret Celebrity Drag Race is kind of in that vein of, like, if you watch The Masked Singer because you love the over-the-top absurdity of it and how fucking gay The Masked Singer is, this is, like, making the gayness of The Masked Singer blatant. It's
yes,
like, yeah,
I agree.
We get it. This is so, like, the whole idea of The Masked Singer itself is so gay, and they're just making the gayness obvious in Secret Celebrity Drag Race, which is such a long and annoying title to say, but here we are. So, Andy, give us a quick recap of episode one. What did you like? What did you not? What do you want to say before we get into episode two, which just came out this past weekend?
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of a guessing game because you're not really sure who they are. They keep their faces hidden from you. You get a slight, you know, reverse side profile while they're interviewing people. I think they could give a few more clues because, you know, some of the people, I think, unless you are like totally, totally immersed in all gay culture, you're not going to know everybody. But you know, I think they picked a lot of fun people that, you know, they perform and it looks like they're really drag queens. So that's what the fun about it is like it's taking performers that wouldn't use this type of performing style. And then you can see like how well it translates.
I don't think they care if you know who they are. Like, they're not right. giving clues at all, you know? Like, you hear their voice and that's about it, but they're not, it's not like Masked Singer where there's a clue package. So I think if you don't know who they are, they don't really care if you know who they are, because if you don't know who they are, they want you to have that surprise once the person is revealed, which is also kind of like, takes some of the fun.
Reveal yourself.
Yeah, it takes like some of the fun away, I think, because like they're not making it a guessing game. So it's just kind of like this second episode, I will admit, I didn't like as much as the first one, just because like, the novelty of it was worn off after one episode where I'm like, oh, well, if I don't know who this person is, you're not really giving me information. So I'm just watching people do mediocre drag. Like, they look great, but the actual performances are not, which we'll talk about, are not always the best.
Yeah.
But it's
fun. I mean, I feel like that's the same thing with Masked Singer. Like, you can tell the people who just want to, like, go out there in a mask, per se, and just have fun with it. Versus the people who are competing to compete because they think they can win.
Right. I mean, it's how you get Jewel, who is a legit singer, and Honey Boo Boo on the same season.
Right, exactly.
You know? Okay, so let's talk about I interrupted before you get to the first episode. Go ahead and give us a brief recap of the first episode.
Yeah, so basically they introduce us to each person, and they have a mentor of either Monet Exchange, Jujubee, or Brooklyn Heights. And each of them is assigned a celebrity to kind of like help get into drag and like teach them, you know, how to walk and how to dance and how to pad and how to tuck and all that stuff. And then they go out and they do a choreographed lip sync with a bunch of backup dancers. And then RuPaul, Ross Matthews, and Michelle Visage, you know, kind of judge them and tell them where they can improve. And if they kind of make little mentions to each other, like, I can't imagine who that could be or whatever. But, you know, it's just fun. And I feel like it's uplifting. They're not, like, too critical on them. So, I mean, but that's it. They lip sync. And then when they pick a winner, they get to go in the back. When they pick they, you know, pare it down to two not winners and make them lip sync against each other, you know, lip sync for your life. And then they, you know, sashay one home and Shantae, you stay for another week to compete. And I think it's really fun.
Yeah. So did you know who the first celebrity was? Because I knew who she was immediately because she has a very iconic voice.
Yes. And I did know her. I just could not think of her name. It just was not coming to the tip of my tongue.
Right.
We kind of discussed that one a little bit already because I watched it behind John, but I was asking him a couple people who they were, and I knew her. I just could not get her name on my tongue, but yeah.
Yes. So the first reveal last week in the first episode, there were 9 celebrities, and 9th place went to Loretta Devine, who is an actress and a Broadway performer. She was in the original Broadway cast of Dreamgirls as Laurel. She was also in the movie version singing in one of the nightclub scenes. I think it was at Jimmy Early's funeral. Sorry, this is a very gay show, and I just got very gay for a second there too in my own head trying to figure out which scene Loretta Devine was in the Dreamgirls movie. She also was on Grey's Anatomy. She's guest hosted or judged on Drag Race in the past, and she has that very like high-pitched, iconic voice. And her character name was Fabulosity, and she sashayed away after the first episode.
And I have to just jump in and say, if you are upset at RuPaul's Drag Race normal method of judging, I think they do a much better job on this show of being fair and accurate.
Yeah, there's no stakes here, really.
Right.
They're all competing. The winner of the show gets a $100,000 donation to a charity of their choice. So it's kind of like this past season of All Stars where the girls are there to have fun.
Yeah, and I think like the reason this show, or at least to me, is so entertaining as well as the All Winners season of RuPaul that just ended is it's like you want to see happy times. Like, we have such shit in this world that, like, I'm so sick of, like, the shows that are just harping on the bad stuff so much. And I think these last two seasons in the iteration of the RuPaul world have just been more positive and uplifting and fun, and that's why they're doing much better than, like, previous seasons where I just feel like everybody's shitting on everything.
I'm stuck on RuPaul. You can take the girl out of Jersey, but you can't take the Jersey out of the girl. The past RuPaul girls and the seasons of RuPaul.
I didn't even know I was saying it like that.
You did. Okay, let's get into the episode, because I agree. Like, it's really fun to watch. And it's fun. Like, Masked Singer is fun because of how ridiculous it is. And it's fun to watch, like, the spectacle of it. But it's not fun to listen to a bad singer. That's not fun.
Yeah.
It's painful. But to watch bad drag is sometimes fun.
It's definitely fun. And I mean, it's not even just fun, but, like, you don't care about the mistakes, because I feel like drag queens are okay making mistakes more so than, like, I don't know, people who perform on other performing shows. Like, I feel like mistakes are looked at as, like, this huge thing, where I feel like in drag, it happens a lot more often, not because people aren't polished, but they're going for it. So when they fuck it up a little bit, everybody's like, it doesn't matter because you still fucking, you know, did a death drop or whatever. Yeah.
All right, so let's get started with the contestants. First up in episode 2, we have Chick LaFay, which is a brilliant drag name.
Yeah.
And we both know who this is. Do you want to say who it is?
Kevin McHale, who played, now I can't think of his name, on
Artie.
Glee. Artie, yeah.
Artie on Glee. Yes, this is Kevin McHale. Very obviously Kevin McHale. He's one of the few that I think when he's in drag as Chick LaFay looks very
similar.
He
looks exactly like himself. That's why it's like so hard to...
Yeah, like he has such beautiful feminine features to begin with that the makeup just makes him look really pretty. But he looks like a really pretty Kevin McHale.
Yeah, and like it's... I feel like even with drag makeup on, like you still see the whole nature of his face, whereas like some of the other people,
Donna Bellissima,
yeah, like it's harder to see like their real features, especially because like it's not like Kevin McHale, you know, from his hair or, you know, any specific body part that like sticks out, you know what I mean? He's just like a very traditional looking male, but then when you put him in makeup and everything, it just accentuates like good features, and so you just know it's him.
I think the most obvious of all of them. I forgot to mention this episode's title and the theme is Dance Your Padded Asses Off. So the challenge this week is focus on the choreography. So all of these songs are supposed to, in some way, they're supposed to be dance songs, and they have to lip sync, but they're what they're being judged on mostly is the dancing and the choreography. And Chick LaFay's song is On the Floor by J-Lo. They have like these clip packages before, as they always do on shows like this, and they have Kevin McHale / Chick LaFay sitting in the dark so you can't see his face. And he said something that I found really interesting, where he's preparing for this dance and said, I'm still learning who Chick LaFay is as I'm discovering her. And I think that was really interesting to me, because like the more prolific that RuPaul's Drag Race gets, the more sanitized drag itself, I feel like, becomes. And it's become something where like everyone thinks they're doing drag, because it's this platitude of like, we're all born naked and the rest is drag. We're like, we're kind of now accepting so much as quote unquote drag that everything is drag. And I think it's interesting to note this, that like the art of drag and drag performance is a lot more than just putting on clothes and makeup and wigs and going out and standing in front of an audience, that there is more to the performance art of drag, which is what I feel like RuPaul's Drag Race is getting at most of the time, and not just like this kind of innocuous thing that, sorry to drag Gen Z, but that Gen Z has changed it into, where like if you're 10 years old and you change your name to like Mini Death Drop, then you're a drag queen. Like, no, there's more to it than that. There's a history and a performance and an art and a characterization to it. And I thought that was interesting. Do you have thoughts, or did I just monologue for no reason?
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I mean, I think it's good to say stuff like that because it makes you, or not us, you know, typical gay media consumers. But I mean, you know, just the general population to see somebody say that, like, no, you have to build a character. Like, this is just as much as acting is, and just as much as you can't just rely on yourself and your normal tricks, because there's so many other things that go into it. I mean, and a couple of them kind of mentioned this, like, when I get into this outfit, like, I'm untouchable, because, you know, I think that also touches on just, like, you know, how much women have to put up with. You know, like, everybody always says, like, oh, everybody's, you know, dressing for a date and da-da-da-da-da. But really, like, we're dressing to make ourselves feel good. So when men get in that look and they're like, damn, like, this feels good to, like, look good. It's like, yeah, like, we're doing it for ourselves and maybe a little bit for our friends, but not for you men.
Yeah. So Kevin McHale, bridging the gender gap for all of us.
Right.
Okay. So he goes out, and as Chick LaFay does a performance to On the Floor by J-Lo. Do you want to give your thoughts first, or do you want me to give mine?
I think he's a great dancer.
Yes.
And so I think he did really well. I mean, I'm rooting for him and Poppy as, like, the top two in my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any other thoughts besides, like, I just loved it.
Oh, I did like this a lot. I love Chick LaFay, and I think that we know Kevin McHale is a dancer.
Yeah.
But, like, that's definitely Chick LaFay's strong suit, is the dancing, is the performance. It looked like he was being held back maybe by the high heels, I think, a little bit. And also by the fact that this was a terrible outfit and wig for this song.
I didn't really understand that part.
Like, yeah, this is a pussy-popping anthem. It's literally called On the Floor. The lyrics are Get on the Floor. And he's out there in, like, a beehive wig and a gown. It was weird.
I agree. I, like, didn't really understand it.
I was so confused by why, like, let the bitch flip her hair. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a J-Lo song, and she... I thought it was bizarre. And then, like, every time he would, like, get down to the floor or, like, move his legs, and you see, like, the flash of panty that matched the gown, was just very strange. Whereas, like, if it had been a leotard or something like what Thirsty Von Trapp was in, which we'll get to later, it would have made a lot more sense. And I would have liked to have seen Kevin McHale tackle choreography where he could have gotten on the floor and been a sex pot.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So that was my only thing. Like, I mean, this is a great performance and it was a lot of fun, but, like, why the fuck did they do this to him?
Yeah, I just... It was a weird outfit. Like, I think it could have been a catsuit moment.
Something. Something movable.
Yeah. But I didn't really mind the look. I thought he looked really good.
No, he looked great. But when you're up there like, this would have been a great look for doing, like, a tango. Or something with a partner.
No, I agree.
Or, like, a Broadway number or something where it's, like, there's more body control, but it's On the Floor by Jennifer Lopez and Pitbull. Like, I just felt like they should have given Chick LaFay something better to dance in.
I just, yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if it's the specific drag mother that is helping who, like, just can't translate their own... Vision,
yeah, that's a good point.
Properly?
That's a good point. I don't know where the drag is coming from.
Like, right.
Is it
it's
the
hard.
Producers?
They don't really give us enough. They don't give us enough back story.
Yeah, like, is it the producers? Is it the artists? Like, does the makeup artist just get to decide what the makeup looks like? Do they, like, are they working in tandem with a costume designer who is working with the contestant and the mentor? Is it just the mentor? Is it just the contestant? Is it none of them? Is it just production is like, this is what we have? I don't know.
Yeah, like, I'm not sure if they all showed up together. They got them all the outfits that people just, like, scrounged up to see what fits who best. Because a little bit later on, I'm sorry I'm jumping ahead, but it's relevant. They mentioned to Jackie that her costume is sinking lower and lower and accentuating, you know, the pussy that shouldn't be there. So I feel like these are borrowed outfits from other queens that they had as like some gay thrift bag that they all picked out over something. You know what I mean? Like, I don't really know. I don't. That's the whole thing. If they're going to give us so much back end in that clip section that they provide before they start dancing, like, I want to see them get ready and who's picking out their shit and where it's coming from, because I think that's a whole thing that they have to kind of be at the mercy of other people, and we're not sure who's making those decisions.
Yeah. Okay, let's go on to the next person. So the second contestant is Electra Owl, who I did not have any guesses for.
And you need to wait, because this is my platform and my fucking moment to be so excited that you didn't know who your own fucking idol was. When I saw the reveal, because I knew this person, I jumped up off my couch. I was screaming. I was like, babe, talking to my boyfriend, you don't understand. John did not know who this was. And I feel so redeemed for not knowing people over the whole score of anything Masked that you did not know who this was. I mean, just had to remind you.
Yes. Okay. So Electra Owl is revealed later in the episode, because she does end up going home at the end as Taylor Dane, who I love. I have loved since I was a child. She was on season 5 of The Masked Singer, and it actually took me a while to pick her out on that too, because I think her singing voice is very distinctive, but she's also very good at disguising her singing voice. And with this show, I'm not totally familiar with her speaking voice. And when she's covered in 10 pounds of makeup, like, her face doesn't really look the same as it did when I was growing up to begin with. Then you cover it makeup and it's like, okay. And it really did show that she doesn't have a whole lot of stage presence, which is another, like, why this would never have been on my mind that it was Taylor Dane, because she was so fucking boring on the show.
She kind of was. I think maybe she doesn't look as old as she is, and so it's just taxing on her, and she can't. She's one of those people that if something is too taxing, she just can't hide it on her face.
I get she's a singer, okay? And she's never really been a dancer or anything. I've never seen her live, so I can't speak to how she is as a performer in person. But, like, this week was a dance challenge, and she didn't really dance. Her song was Last Dance by Donna Summer, and she didn't really do anything.
No. She was, like, kind of spinning around with her arms out and, like, looking for someone in the background to, like, take her up. Yeah. A bunch, and I was just like, what are you doing? You got to keep performing.
Yeah, it was very weird. But speaking of Taylor Dane on The Masked Singer, this is what I was saying earlier, that season 5 was the last great season of The Masked Singer, I think. That was the season that she was on, and oh God, who won that season?
Candy?
That was the season, maybe it was season 4? I forget. I think it was the season with Leanne Rimes.
Oh.
Which, like, Leanne Rimes was always going to win that season. But, like, I feel like I have it in my head that it should have been Leanne Rimes and Taylor Dane in the top instead of Aloe Black, who was the mushroom. I feel like that was all the same season. Maybe it wasn't, and I'm just crazy. I don't know. But regardless, the season that she was on, I think, was the last season before they started fucking with it and, like, bringing in wild cards and that kind of dumb bullshit.
Yeah.
But I really liked her on The Masked Singer. I did not like her on this show. And I mean, I really have not much to say. Like, I don't think she looked particularly impressive.
They barely beat her face. They put way too much eyeshadow, and I feel like that's all they really did.
That is something that they do that with all the cis women on this show. I agree. All the cis women on the show, they, like, just paint eyes on them. It's weird.
I don't understand. Like, carve their fucking face. Like, yeah, do the same thing you would do on a man.
It's very strange. But, yeah, Taylor Dane said something where, like, she was like, I have to concentrate on lip syncing, which makes sense. Like, when you're a singer, I guess you don't think to lip sync.
Oh, I agree. I mean, it's very hard for me to not start singing when I'm singing to a song. Because I'm a singer. I mean, not like Taylor Dane. Let me clarify. But I'm just saying.
You heard it here first. Andy is on season 8 of The Masked Singer. She's only pretending to hate the show now. that definitely got in her way. Like, she never lip syncs when she's performing. Or not never, but she very frequently forgets to. So, like, it was just not exciting. Next up is Thirsty Von Trapp. Do you have any guesses for Thirsty Von Trapp?
Zero.
I have a guess, and I do not think this is actually who it... I have two guesses. I don't think either of them are correct, but, like, they're in the wheelhouse. Okay. So it's very clearly a gay male.
Yes.
So my two guesses are Finn Argus, who was just on the reboot of Queer as Folk. And the only reason I don't think it's him is that Finn is very light-skinned, and we also saw Finn in drag on this Queer as Folk reboot, and the facial features aren't quite the same, but, like, this is a young gay person. My other guess is Justice...
I don't think it's him.
I don't really think it's him either, but that's where my mind went once I saw the performance, but I don't think that's him, but I think it's that wheelhouse. My other guess is Justice Smith, who is a young queer black actor who was on this terrible HBO Max show called Generation. And he was also in the Detective Pikachu movie and one of the Jurassic World movies. And that's, I think, closer. I don't know if it's him or not, but I think it's... That one, I think, is at least, like, a better guess. And if you want to look up who that is, you know,
I'm Googling them.
Like, the skin tone, I think, is closer for Justice Smith as well.
Yeah, but it's not him either.
Yeah.
In my opinion. I mean, I'm not trying to, like, cut you down. I just, I mean, I am looking at them in comparison, and I don't think it's them. I'm trying to think. Hold on. I'm going to be thinking of somebody while you talk.
Okay. So the song that Thirsty Von Trapp dances to is Physical by Dua Lipa. And I'll give my thoughts on this while you're thinking while you're trying to cope with your guess or the name of your guess. I noticed in particular in this performance that there was a lot of editing tricks to make this look better than I feel like it actually was, which then surprised me that Thirsty ended up in the bottom two later on, because I thought they were doing these editing tricks because she wasn't going to be in the bottom. But, like, it was things like she would be dancing and they would literally cut to Rue laughing at nothing. Like, she hadn't done something funny. She would just be walking on stage and they'd cut to Rue laughing. Or they would cut to Ross repeating a dance move that Thirsty just did. Like, things where they were not showing the stage, that once you've watched a lot of Drag Race, you start to understand as them basically, like, covering up that the queen that they're saving is doing poorly. So that I noticed, but then she ended up in the bottom. So, like, maybe this was even worse than what it looked like. But I didn't really like Thirsty Von Trapp. She has dead face to me. Like, there's nothing really behind the eyes. And I also did not understand what the story of this was. Like, she looked great. She's a mover. But after her first week where she was pole dancing and stuff, I feel like they were trying to push this narrative that Thirsty Von Trapp is a dancer, but she's not. She's a mover. That's my thoughts.
Yeah, I'm not so into her.
Good, me either, but they clearly are. Go.
First of all, they keep dressing her very strange. This outfit that she was wearing, like, she's so petite that I don't understand not padding her hips ginormous to match this, like, hugely shoulder padded ginormous wig. You know what? It was very, like, top heavy triangular. I don't know. Something was very off with how she's dressed this episode. And I agree with, like, the dead in the eyes thing. I can't think of the person that I was thinking of. I was trying to look it up, but it doesn't matter because I don't think it's right anyway.
Okay.
I still feel like I know who this is. Like, when they reveal who it actually is, I'm going to be like, oh, you know what? Yes. But it's not that interesting to me to find out.
Yeah, me either. And I'm kind of the opposite. I feel like they're going to unveil this person. I'm going to be like, oh, okay, who the hell are you? because I feel like if it's a young gay man and I don't know who it is, I'm not it's not going to matter once they do unveil who this is. All right.
Yeah, just not interested. Let's move
on. I'm not all that invested in Thirsty Von Trapp. Agreed. Okay. Next contestant, another Von, the Von family, is Millie Von Sunshine. Who I do not have a guess for. The only thing that this is an Asian woman. That's about as much as I got.
I think she's like a YouTuber, TikToker, if I had to guess. But I'm not 100% sure. I just feel like I've seen her before.
It's someone...
Like, I feel like I know her, so...
Yeah, but,
I can't pinpoint it.
There's something very familiar about her voice and about the way she carries herself on stage that makes me wonder if I've seen her in... something like either on stage or like in a movie where she or in a musical or a TV show like a Glee or like West Side Story or something. But I don't know who it is, but it's someone who just got married. She did say that in her interview. So like it's an Asian woman who got married fairly recently. Like who knows when they filmed this or what just got married. It fucking means
it could mean last 5 years.
It could mean last month. I don't know.
And I wouldn't even know who married who. I'm not even
right. Like, yeah. So, like, I'm wondering if this is maybe like Constance Wu, who like I feel like is maybe too famous for this show, but also I haven't seen her anything in a while. So maybe she's not working. I don't know.
Ooh, I just had a thought when you said that.
Her song that she dances to is "Dancing on My Own" by Robin, and this is interesting because Millie's mentor is Jujubee, who very famously lip-synced to this song, as they tell us 1,000 times in the episode. Against Raven in All Stars 1, one of the all-time best lip syncs on Drag Race. And I, again, was very confused by what the storyline was of this. Like, I got that it was a wedding in Vegas that was, like, that the groom was cheating. But, like, what the fuck was the styling of her makeup?
I don't understand that part, but I loved this.
So I liked this too. I like her a lot. No, I like her a lot. I'm just like, what the fuck were they doing?
A lot.
Yeah. But... Well, I'm still in Jersey, so I get to say it. I ain't in Ohio.
Listen, shut the fuck up.
To live and die in Cleveland, bitch.
Okay. I never will die. Yeah, I promise you that.
I really liked this. It was so much fun and it was so weird, but like, why did she have an eye X'd out?
No, I totally didn't really understand that part. Especially with the story that they were going with. Like, I don't understand, unless that was supposed to represent like some sort of black eye with like smudged lipstick from like getting beat up or something. I don't know. It doesn't really make sense. I mean, I understand that they were making like 2 sets of lips with like a glitter stash. I don't know.
It was so very weird. It was so weird. It was so weird. But like you said, I liked it.
I loved it. I just thought it was so entertaining. She did really good, like, you know, acting it out. I felt like it was a very top tier drag performance of a song that also had a story within it, so that you totally got the whole thing from beginning to end. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like this was very drag.
Yeah, up till this point, this was the only one that had a full story. Like, this was the only thing that told a full actual story.
Yeah, I don't love her. I'm not super into her winning or placing or whatever. But, like, I think she can hold her own. And, like, this made me like her more.
Yes. Of the cis women that are on this show, I think she's the best.
Agreed.
Okay. Next up is Jackie Wood, W-O-U-L-D, not W-O-O-D, which is funny and also stupid. and we both know who this is as well. We both immediately knew who this was. Do you want to reveal who this is, or do you not know their actual name?
No, Tom, I forget his last name.
Felicia.
Tom Felicia from the original Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, Jesus.
Yes, which I thought was very funny because Carson was the rotating judge in episode 1.
Right, right.
And I wonder if Carson knew, because they're best friends. They had a TV show together on Bravo a couple of years ago, like maybe 3 or 4 years ago.
He 1,000% knew. There's no question.
Because, I mean, like, I do not think this looks like Tom when he is Jackie Wood. In drag, this does not look like Tom. But Tom is another one that has a very specific voice.
He has a specific voice. He has a specific look. He has a specific hairdo. Like, you could just tell in his silhouette who he was.
Yeah. And the song.
So if Carson was on stage watching the package on the big screen, like the audience, he would have known immediately.
Oh, yeah. That's more my question is whether I don't know whether the judges get the package or not.
They have
because this
to.
isn't like RuPaul said, they're not guessing who this is. That's not part of the show, is for them to guess who it is. So
it doesn't
wonder,
matter though, John. If I was up on stage and I saw you dancing like that, I'd be like, John, I know it's you. And if I'm not allowed, I'd be like, yeah, I don't know who this is either. And then I'd go backstage and I'd be like, John, you know I know. So don't look at me.
I know, and then we break our NDAs. So the song that the song that Tom Felicia / Jackie Wood is dancing to is "Pump Up the Jam." Jam, pump the jam, pump it up.
This is my favorite song as a 5-year-old. So that'll
right because
you.
It was on the original Jock Jams '96.
Right.
And this was very Olivia Newton-John, rest in peace, physical. It was very, like, 80s aerobics music video, which has been done to death, but is always fun. It's just always fun to see a drag queen do this.
I agree, but Tom is, like, letting everybody down a little bit, I think.
Oh, 100%. Tom is so much fun on Queer Eye, or was so much fun on Queer Eye, since it hasn't been on the air for, like, over a decade. But has zero personality in drag. It's as if the wig and the makeup just swallow him whole and he becomes a black void.
Yeah, but, like, I also see zero transformation. Like, I don't understand what they're doing, but, like, let's just compare Kevin to Tom.
Okay.
Kevin has huge hip pads and butt pads and is wearing multiple types of pantyhose and waistband, you know. Oh my god, what are those called?
A belt? A corset?
No, not a corset, but a like a waist trainer thing. I mean, I guess a corset.
Spanx?
But maybe just like a tightening and pulling and tons of boob and whatever. I don't know. For Tom, I feel like they were like, here, this is a sparkly pink jumpsuit that fits you as a man, and we're not going to do anything to your body. Just put this on, and we're going to put a sloppy-ass wig with sloppy-ass makeup on you. Like, it just doesn't seem like the same level of care.
I agree. Tom looks like he looks like a local drag queen, and that's not a read. That's why I think this is fun. I have seen drag queens in New Hope dress up in a terrible leotard with a terribly teased, hairsprayed to death wig and crusty ass makeup that looks like they applied with their feet, and they do this type of thing, usually too physical, by Olivia Newton-John, where like they pretend to jerk off the dumbbell and and like do all the typical 80s dances, like the Roger Rabbit, and he did the sprinkler in this. Like this, but it's always fun to me to watch this. It's a classic for a reason. But like, I agree that like Tom is not winning this show, but I don't even know if he's having all that much fun, but. This was.
I don't know. It just seems like a weird amount of care was taken with all of the other people, and he's just like slapped together. Hey ho, you're going on stage to take up for the one who got sick. You have 5 minutes to get up there. Go do your best. That's what it seems like.
Yeah, which I think is maybe just Tom's brand. I mean, that's just how Tom is as a performer.
True. I just feel like he's lackluster and he could be bringing it better.
Oh, 100%. But also having said that, up to this point, this was my favorite of the night because it was just so fucking stupid. and I do want to comment that Ross saying, this is how I dressed both times I went to the gym, is not fucking funny when you've lost 200 pounds.
No.
Fuck
you! I was annoyed by that too. I was annoyed by that too because first, first of all, Ross, I just watched season 8 to see Bob win, and I could tell you, you swallowed another man on that show, so I definitely know you went to the gym more than 2 times to lose that man you swallowed, so don't even get over it. I mean, come on, like, that's so annoying to say.
Yeah, that is a joke that you need to retire once you have lost a certain amount of weight, and Ross is far past that point.
Because he's a thin, normal guy now. Like, you don't have...
Right, once you start doing interviews about how you lost and kept off weight, you don't get to make fat jokes about yourself anymore. Sorry about
that. No, you lose the fucking fat privilege. We get very few. Let us have the fucking jokes.
So, moving on. Fuck you, Ross Matthews. So, okay. The next up is Chakra 7, whose song is I Want to Dance with Somebody by Whitney Houston. Do you have any guesses for who Chakra 7 is?
The only guess that I had, I told you already, I thought was Kim Fields.
Okay, yeah, I think...
That's the only name that came to my head.
I think Kim Fields, or this person is younger than Kim Fields is.
I agree.
My first guess is... Or I have two guesses, and they're both, like, in the same wheelhouse once again, is they're both black actresses from 90s... shows that I watched when I was a kid. One is Megan Good, who was on Cousin Skeeter on Nickelodeon, and she's been in a bunch of stuff since then. She's on Harlem on Amazon Prime right now, and she's been in a bunch of movies and shit. My other guess is Tatiana Ali from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, who also was a singer in the 90s.
Ooh, that could be her.
It could be Tatiana or Megan Good.
Not Megan. Tatiana.
Yeah. I feel like I also mix them up a lot in my head because I watched all of these shows when I was a kid that, like, I mix up, like, The Cosby Show, Fresh Prince, Full House, Cousin Skeeter, Facts
Family
of Life.
Family Matters.
All kind of exist in the same place in my head. Like,
I
agree. Live action sitcoms I watched as a child. And they were all on Nick at Night at some, or Nickelodeon. Like, that was the only channel I watched. So, I feel like it could, like, I don't think Megan, I mean, I do think Tatiana Ali, feature-wise, is a better guess. But I also, like, would have no fucking idea if it was her, because I haven't seen her, except in photos, since The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air in the 90s.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, but it does look like it could be closer to her than Megan in my eyes. But also... She's just fun. She's on there to have fucking fun, and that's what I like.
Yeah, do you have any guesses for her, or do you like my guess of Tatiana Ali?
I like your guess, because like I said, the only name that came to my head was
Kim Fields. Right. I really liked her, too. She is there to have fun. She looks like she's having fun. She's very clearly not a very good dancer, or at least not a good dancer in heels.
Yeah.
Like, I kept looking at her and yelling at my TV, like, bend your knees! Bend your knees, girl. Bend up. Bend your knees. And, like, that would help you walk in heels and also dance in heels. Just bend your knees.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, I think the heels are more of a problem to people than I was expecting, so.
Right. It's very strange. But, yeah, I like her. She's fine. She's a perfectly fine space filler until we get down to the better people.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think it might be between her and Tom for the bottom next time.
Yeah, I actually thought that Tom was going to be in the bottom this week and was not, which was strange to me. But yeah, now that Elektra is gone, I think it's pretty obviously going to be either Tom and, or what's his, Jackie Wood and Chakra 7 and or Donna Bellissima. Some combination of those three are probably going to be the bottoms going forward for the next few episodes.
Or Thirsty.
I mean, yeah, I was just surprised they put Thirsty in the bottom this week. I thought that was very odd. I don't know. They seem higher on Thirsty than I am, but then they also put her in the bottom. So I'm very confused by the whole Thirsty storyline.
Yeah, but I mean, I like Chakra. I'm fine with her sticking around for longer because, you know, like Taylor and Tom, I just feel like they're not having as much, like, they're portraying their struggle. And yes. I feel like these people are not portraying their struggle, and I would much rather watch Chakra 7 than a portrayal of struggle.
Good point. All right, last two. Next up is Donna Bellissima, who I know who this is. You do not, right?
I don't think I do. However, when I was watching, my boyfriend popped his head in, and he goes, I think I know who that is. And I said, who? Because, like, what?
Who?
He said, James from Backyard Envy. And I was like, that is such a good guess, but I literally haven't thought of that show in a million years. So I was so surprised that he pulled that out of his hat like that.
Okay, first of all, I loved Backyard Envy, but in Me what too. Universe is that in the forefront of your mind?
I've not thought of that show since the finale.
And which was like over 2 years ago, I think.
I know. And it's not officially canceled because then, of course, I had to look it up to see what's happening with it. And they said a season 4 is possible. They just haven't renewed it yet. But regardless, I was like, how did you even think of those people? Like, how did that person even come to your mind? And he goes, because I was in the kitchen and the voice sounds exactly like him. And I was like, okay, I see it.
Okay, that's who it is.
Oh, okay. I mean, but is that a good guess?
I mean, yes, it is the person it actually is an overweight gay man with a beard.
I'm not saying like all overweight gay men are the same. I'm just saying like
I know what you're saying, but like,
that he could pull that out of a hat and then be a better guesser than me. I was just like, what the fuck is happening?
Well, yeah, your guess was the guy from Remember the Titans. What's his name?
Yeah. Oh, I looked it up and now I don't remember.
I don't either.
It doesn't matter.
It's not him. I do know who this is, but you don't want me to tell you, right?
Just tell me.
Are you sure? We are recording this.
I know.
How about I tell you who this is and I won't tell you who Poppy is? Because I know who Poppy is too.
Yeah, because he thinks he knows who Poppy is. So I want to give it another week at least on that.
Mike thinks he knows who Poppy is, your boyfriend, or
yes,
I do?
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay. So you can tell me Mike's guess and I won't say whether that's correct or not either. So Donna Bellissima is, drumroll, Danny Franzese from Mean Girls.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Damien from Mean Girls. Yes. He was also on Looking on HBO season 2. He does a whole bunch of shit with World of Wonder, so it's no surprise that he's on this. He also is currently at this moment in a one-woman drag show called Italian Mom Loves You.
Oh, well, see, I didn't know that. And I wouldn't know that. And well, actually, him and James from Backyard Envy look really fucking similar.
They do.
So.
They do. They do. Yeah, and I only know that he's in that show because he's friends with my friend Tom, who has been helping him promote it. So this is Danny Franzese. Spoiler alert for those of you who maybe did not want to know that. Sorry about it. And the song that he danced as Donna Bellissima, and the song that he dances to is Mambo Italiano, the Rosemary Clooney version.
Which I've been singing around my house ever since.
Which you will for the rest of time. Like, the song is so annoying because it gets stuck in your head. It's terribly offensive. it is horribly offensive. But yeah, it's one of those songs where like he went to Sicily. Hey, Mambo, get it out of your head now. Dare you. I dare you. You're not going to hear a word we say for however much longer this goes on because you're just going to be singing Mambo Italiano. Hey,
Mambo Italiano.
And you're going to do it in a very offensive, stupid, fake Italian Jersey accent.
Right. See, I feel like we can actually do that, though, because
I am a Jersey-Italian.
People.
I'm a Jersey-Italian. I have the right to do it, but I also have the right to call it out. But
oh,
it's also,
exactly.
It's whatever. But it also, it's funny as shit because it's Donna Bellissima just like runs around the stage dressed as an Italian flag and just like does all the stereotypical stupid Italian things like eat pasta and stomp grapes.
Right. But like, I loved this.
I did too. She's so comfortable and adorable on stage, even in those awful little kitten heels that she kicks off halfway through.
Yeah.
And just dances barefoot. And Michelle Visage called it out and was like, well, we found a very creative way for you to not wear shoes.
Right.
But like in drag, I also, Donna Bellissima in drag looks like Ginger Minj plus Winona Judd.
Yeah, I see that.
And, like, I completely understand why you did not know who this was, because the face they paint on Donna Bellissima is as if she's wearing a mask. It is not a human face or a face that, like, it's not the face that has makeup on it. It is a flat surface that they have painted facial features onto. It is so bizarre and uncanny in that way, I think.
It is a little uncanny, but I'd much rather this paint than Taylor Dane.
Oh, yeah, where it's just two giant black holes in her face.
Two giant blue rainbows on her fucking eyebrows.
Two glittering voids on her face because they just didn't bother to paint anything but cheekbones and eye shadow.
Yeah.
But this was so cute.
It was cute, it was fun, and it's entertaining, and that's what we want.
100%. Like, if I went to a drag show and saw this number, I would throw my dollars at Donna Bellissima.
I'd be throwing my fucking noodles from my back pocket.
I mean, every jersey, a jersey woman do carry a bag of pasta at nighttime.
Exactly. So, you know, I'd have that ready.
So last up is Poppy Love, who won the first episode last week, and also wins this episode and is so fucking good.
Well, this was exceptional week, I think.
100% agree. The song is Show Me How You Burlesque by Christina Aguilera from the movie Burlesque, which, sidebar, Poppy Love talks about how this is his daughter's favorite movie, which, one, I find bizarre because I didn't realize anybody liked this movie except for me. I saw this movie at a midnight showing when I was in college. I was so excited for it, and it is... the campiest, most absurd. I'm mad to this day that this movie is not a bigger part of gay culture, because it is everything we love. It's a box office bomb. It is Christina Aguilera in her acting debut doing the bare minimum. Cher is in it. Alan Cumming is in it. It's Kristen Bell playing a drugged up, drunk villain in a black wig. And then it all ends with, like, they save the club by buying air rights. It makes no fucking sense. It's so stupid. I love this movie so much, and the soundtrack is top tier. And this is a great example of why. And I'm so glad that Poppy Love is starting the movement for justice for burlesque. Okay, back on track, off the soapbox. Do you have guesses?
I do not have guesses, and I've never seen burlesque.
Well, so you're dismissed. I'm going to end the recording right now.
So I figured that was what was going to happen after your monologue about it, but
you have to find it. It used to be on Netflix. It might still be. It is so stupid and wonderful. I love it so much.
I'm still singing Mambo Italiano in my head, by the way. So I was trying to think of how this song went, and, like, literally, I just hear echoes of Mambo Italiano.
Now get your ass up, show me how you belast, say hey. Now it's your turn. Say hey. I am not Christina Aguilera, so I can't riff. But yeah, it's fun. I love the song. Do you have guesses for who Poppy Love is, or does Mike have guesses for who Poppy Love is?
Well, he and I both think we definitely know who it is, but he has not yet pinpointed a guess, and neither can I.
Okay.
But I want to keep this one secret, yes, because I think we're going to figure it out.
I 100% know who this is, and your guess last week when we were texting was Joey Fatone from NSYNC. And yeah. I texted back, incorrect, but on the right track. So keep that in mind. I love Poppy Love. Love Poppy Love. This was by far the best number of the night. It was the best, it was the best conceptually. It was the best costumed. It was the best choreographed. It was the best performed.
Ooh, I think I might have figured it out.
Do you want to talk about it now, or do you want to hold it for episode 3?
No, we could talk about it. Is it AJ?
It is.
Okay.
It is. It's AJ McLean from the Backstreet Boys.
Okay. All right. Well, at least I figured it out. Because you know what? I looked up Chris Kirkpatrick because I was like, I don't think it's him. And then I saw a picture of him next to AJ, and I was like, wait, it's AJ.
Yes, it's, I mean, for me, the giveaway, the first dead giveaway was the tattoos, the second is the voice.
I knew the tattoos, and that's what I was looking for when I was looking people up, and I just could not place it. So this was the first time I looked up Chris Kirkpatrick.
Yes. So we have AJ McLean from the Backstreet Boys, who, good for him, is also releasing a solo album this fall, probably timed pretty close to when the show ends. Because I can imagine he's going to win. Like, I mean, there's no question. He's won both episodes so far, and this is stellar. Like, this is the kind of shit that, like, the queens on Drag Race hope for.
Trust me, this was, like, out of control. Why are you not a drag queen doing this?
Like, the literal only issue, the only imperfect thing, which he knew, was that in the final pose, it's all the men are holding him on his back and he, like, tosses his head back. He didn't get his neck all the way back because he didn't want his wig to fall off. So
which,
we
like,
couldn't
why
see
can't they
face.
Glue that shit down?
I think they did. I just think it was his own hang-up.
Okay.
I think him, like, not doing drag and knowing how, like, pinning works.
He can
works,
whip his head around. Yeah,
yeah, like, I mean, I just don't think he realized that, like, the wigs are usually done by Delta Work, or they used to be done by Delta Work on regular Drag Race. And, like, Rue's makeup is Raven, so, like, the people that are doing the show are very likely drag queens or very closely related to drag queens. They know how to pin your damn wig down. It's not going anywhere, sis. But I think it was his own hang up. And that was the literal only issue. Everything else, it was wonderful. It was so much fun. I watched it twice. I loved it.
I did too. I think that he nailed it. And just the way, I mean, he's tucked to perfection. Like, everything is just so tight and perfect. It's just like, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I understand that certain people, like, are built better for drag, but, like, the effort should be there for everybody. So it's just kind of weird, and maybe they're just low-efforting the people that only expect to be there a couple episodes. Maybe Tom was like, I thought I'd go home first, so, like, didn't expect to even have to do this a second time kind of thing. Kind of like Loretta Devine, so I'm not sure. But, I mean, this is just high class.
So good. So good. So we've said already, but the bottom two, Poppy Love wins the episode. The bottom two ends up being Thirsty Von Trapp and Electra Owl. And they lip sync to Shut Up and Drive, which is such an odd choice of a song because this is, for my money, the best lip sync in Drag Race history is Tatiana and Alyssa Edwards on All Stars 2 lip syncing to this song.
I mean, I know I watched it, but it was so long ago, I have no recollection.
Okay, it was the episode where Tatiana got back into the competition. And, okay, when we're done recording this, go look up Shut Up and Drive Drag Race and rewatch it. And everyone who's listening to this right now, whatever you're doing when this is over, if you're driving, pull over. If you're at work, take a break. Like, go remind yourself of how good Shut Up and Drive is. Alyssa Edwards, Tatiana, season 2 of All Stars. It is the best lip sync, I think. I know your favorite is this will be what the hell is the action of that song? Everlasting, no.
Yeah.
Is it Everlasting
this
Love?
Will
no.
This will be.
God, I'm stupid. By Natalie Cole, and it's The Princess and Dita Ritz, which I agree that is for sure in my top 5, maybe even top 3. But for my money, the greatest in Drag Race history is Shut Up and Drive. So right off the bat, I was like, huh, this is terrible, because it wasn't Tatiana and Alyssa. And Electra Owl very clearly lost. She was not lip-syncing, like, at all. But also, like, my whole issue was that it was hard for me to care because I don't particularly like Thirsty Von Trapp.
Either of them, yeah.
And Electra Owl wasn't really giving it. And then on top of all I can think about is how this just makes me want to watch Tatiana and Alyssa.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, it wasn't that interesting at the end. I mean, even Mike, my boyfriend, who, like, doesn't, you know, care about this stuff, he was like, man, she's really giving it up to the other one, huh? I was like, yeah. I think she basically, I think, you know, the same with almost all competition shows. I think Loretta, Taylor, and Tom were probably all set up to be the first three out on purpose because they knew they couldn't hang for that long.
Yeah, or they just, like, wanted to do something like this for fun. And I mean, this happens all the time on The Masked Singer. Like, I'm pretty sure the season Taylor Dean was on was also the season that Mickey Rourke just took his own mask off. like, where he just didn't want to do it anymore. Like, he didn't want to run the risk of having to come back, where he was just like, nope, I'm done, and just took his head off.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like there are people who do shows like this because they want to have fun, and they do it once, and they're like, I'm fucking done. And, like, that might have been, like, Taylor Dane might have thought she would do better and just was not doing well. Tom, like you were saying, maybe thought he would be first out. That, like, if your heart's not in it, or if it's not something you think it's going to be, then, you know, you don't give it your all, and that's fine.
Yeah, I agree. But, I mean, you know, we're here to, like, watch you guys. So, like, just do it. You know, you don't have to give it full energy if you don't have it. And it doesn't have to be to, like, try and beat the other person. But, like, I don't know. I don't like to see people give up either.
I agree. But Electra Owl does kind of give up and goes home. And Thirsty Von Trapp is safe. So we're down to 7 queens for the next episode. And
only one, oh no, 2 actual women.
2 cis women, yes. Chakra cis 7. Women.
Sorry. I didn't mean to make that offensive.
I'm just correcting you. I'm not saying you're an awful person, even though you are. Okay, I'm whatever. Just correcting you. Yeah, so we have Chakra 7 and Millie Von Sunshine as the remaining cis women. I do think that it's going to be very interesting if Poppy Love, AJ McLean, does win, because as far as I can tell, he's the only non-homosexual male that is on the show. And if he shows up all the queers, they should be ashamed of themselves. Learn to walk in those heels, you gay little bitches.
Yeah, I mean, because I think Thirsty, it's undeniable that
that he's a gay without
like knowing who he is, for sure.
Yeah, and like knowing Danny Franzese and Kevin McHale, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so I mean, we do not know who a couple people are still. So like maybe, and this is, I think, the interesting / uninteresting, like it's both, of the rest of the show is like, maybe they'll drop some hints that might let us know who they are, but like they're not giving us clue packages like The Masked Singer does. So like, they're not going to, like, I don't know, all of a sudden, like, drop the name of a movie they were in into casual conversation or something like they do on Masked Singer. So we may just never know who some of these people are until they get eliminated, like Electra Owl. You know, like, we had guesses for Thirsty, we had guesses for Millie, and we had some probably better guesses for Chakra 7 with Agreed, Megan Good, yeah, and Tatiana Ali. So we'll see where this goes. It's a lot of fun. It's probably more fun to watch than it is to listen to us talk about it. But, because you can get the visual. But it's a really great placeholder for Drag Race, I think. More so than the international seasons, which there are like 50 of airing right now and are just exhausting at the moment.
I'm not even entering myself into that realm because no, I have so many other things to watch.
I know,
so.
And I had offered to give you my WoW information if you wanted to watch Canada, because there is a queen that you follow on TikTok who was on this season. Ugh,
and I still haven't done that.
So like right now there's Canada's Drag Race. There is Drag Race Philippines and Drag Race Down Under all airing at the moment. And it's a lot. And then UK is coming back soon and France just ended. It's a full-time job watching Drag Race at this point. And with this, especially because it's an hour and a freaking half for no reason, but it's fun to watch. This, I think, is more fun to watch than a bunch of Drag Race seasons, because it's a different formula. It's not mean-spirited. You don't see, like, interactions backstage. There's not a lot to get invested in. It's just a good time.
Agreed. And I think that if you are trying to introduce somebody to Drag Race, have them watch this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This would be a
really
great
starting point. If they don't
really
know if they're going to be into it, like, this gives you everything that's the good parts without the nonsense.
Yeah.
So I feel like this is a good intro.
And even, like, the quote-unquote weaker queens that are on this, like Jackie Wood, are put into immaculate drag because they're being put into drag by professionals.
Right. I mean, they're not just, like, getting, you know, just basics put on.
Yeah, like they're not given a bag of trash and expected to make a dress out of it, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's fun. It airs Friday nights at 8 o'clock on VH1. It's also on the VH1 app. If you are my one listener in the UK and you want to find it, it's on WoW Presents Plus internationally. And yeah, that was episode 2. I don't know how many episodes there are. I think it's 6 or 7, maybe. Based on the number of queens, I would assume if there was a top 3, it would be 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4. 7 episodes? Maybe, but maybe there's 6 and there might be 8, might be 6 if there's like a double elimination or if they...
I don't think it really matters.
Yeah,
it's
so,
a short amount of episodes to.
My point
to.
For saying all of that is that we are planning and hoping to recap each of the remaining episodes for the rest of the season. That will overlap with my regular episodes of Fake TV Critic once the podcast comes back from hiatus in September. So we'll figure out. Maybe you'll get 2 episodes of my dulcet, delicious voice each week. I don't know. Andy, anything that you want to add before we sign off for the week?
I just think you should give it a chance. And, you know, if you don't give it a chance, then listen to us.
Yeah, you don't have to watch it to listen to us. We are very entertaining people in our own right.
Thank you.
So don't feel pressure to watch it, but do feel pressure to listen.
Exactly.
Okay, so follow on Twitter at @FakeTVCritic. If you did not listen to my episode with Joe from Small Town Failing, who Andy also knows and was on their podcast a couple of times when he did Friends of the Real Housewives.
Yes, ma'am.
Go listen to that, Small Town Failing. I did an episode called Entertaining Christmas with Jodie Sweetin in a Christmas movie, and Joe is so much fun and I love him, so go listen to that. And we'll be back next week with episode 3 of RuPaul's Secret Celebrity Drag Race.
Shut up and drive, drive, drive. I don't know why that's in my head now, but...
Get your ass up, show me how you relax, say bye.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye.